checking to see if the equipment is working properly. I'm in the office of Mr. Linwood Edwards, who's the principal of Dudley High School, Senior High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. The date is January 11th, 1991. Mr. Edwards, I wish you'd introduce yourself and say that you know this interview is being recorded.
Thank you, Mrs. Wells. I am Linwood Edwards, the principal of Dudley High School, and I'm well aware that the interview is being recorded for the purpose of Mrs. Wells.
All right. I'm doing some research. I'm going to interview principals who were principals in 1964 of black high schools and principals who are principals now, 1989. when I started to try to find out about the what I really want to focus on is to see if the perceptions of the principals in 89 are the same as the perceptions of principals in 64. So I'm going to ask you some questions, want you to tell me some things, and just be yourself.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I want you to tell me how you became a high school principal.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a longitudinal question. I came into administration after coaching and teaching physical education and health for a long time. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I was an assistant principal at a middle school. And then at a high school. Then I became principal of an elementary school with hopes of moving to the secondary area. And this was some 12 years ago. When the opportunity became available, I was somewhat shocked from the elementary school because I learned on Friday that there was a vacancy at this particular job, and of course I moved into it the following Monday.
That quick?
That quick, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many years did all of this take?
In terms of my education into the principalship is 12.
12 years. Mm-hmm.
This is the secondary school was a career goal, but this became available so quickly, and I was approached and had an opportunity to apply for it. Mm-hmm. And so I accepted.
Tell us something about Dudley High School.
Dudley High School is very rich in tradition. It is 60 years old. We have 1,154 students here with 81 staff members. That's certified staff, and then of course some non-certified staff members. We have three assistant principals, and myself, the principal, of course. We have a divergent group here. We are basically a black school. We're 96% black, mm-hmm. but from that population, we have people coming from different stratas and neighborhoods in our communities. Therefore, they're bringing their different lifestyles and cultures and level of socioeconomic living, if you had to put labels on it. But we do aspire for academic excellence. We are not where we want to be in terms of achieving school-wide, but we have some very bright, talented students here, as well as some of those who would need an extra push or challenge to get to the education. We have a rich heritage. I said the school is 60 years old, so we have the support of a lot of alumni, mm-hmm. as well as wishes in the community, because at one time, historically, this school was a model school for North Carolina in terms of being laid out and a facility and the organization. And we credit most of that to Dr. John Tarpley, who was the first principal and stayed here for 40-some years. Mm-hmm. So generally, I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Yes, that's very good. Now, I'm going to ask you something about your school and responsibilities that you have here. And I'm going to give you specific areas so that we can target those. So tell me about the school and the responsibilities you have and how you deal with them. Tell me how you deal with supervision of personnel and how you select your teachers.
Okay. Supervision of personnel. We have an administrative team here. And that team consists of the three assistant principals, the athletic director, and the chairman of the guidance department, and myself. And I chair that administrative team. For supervision, we meet on a weekly basis. The supervision in terms of performance is done both formally and informally. And we share this in that different people, or so many people, will be given a responsibility for the direct formal supervision. And of course, my job is to keep this moving smoothly and to talk to each other, to keep everybody talking and abreast. We try to meet the deadlines in terms of formal observation, but if there are ways we can provide service, supervise, and hold people accountable for certain things, we do that as a team. Selection of teachers is done, that there is a pool from the administration, the central office. From that pool, we make sure that the records are properly filed with the application and certification and all of that. Then the interviews are done here at this campus. And of course, we will select people and send our recommendations downtown. And for the most part, we do hire them.
Curriculum and instruction.
Okay. In addition to the other tasks that's going on, you know, this an instructional leader, I try to assume the role of being an instructional leader with the school-wide goals and the program, coordinating all the services of the various departments. We depend heavily on our department chairs. I don't mean to indicate that we are abrogating our responsibilities as far as working with them, but we do depend on them. For instance, we have an essay that someone want to try in our school, so we go directly to the English department and we will talk this over as a group and then decide the decision, make that decision. The science fair is another way, and so we're operating within the departments. So this is the way that we supervise our instruction. And if there's a change in the curriculum, it usually will start at the level of the department. And then, of course, we're locked into the citywide structure mm-hmm. also.
Discipline.
Okay. Discipline is a big problem for us. We share that also. We have one person, Robert Evans, who is primarily responsible for it, but at the same time, we do not hesitate to come in and assist him with discipline. All of us are well aware of all the standard procedures, the rules and regulations, and we do take actions on whatever the situation is. But for the most part, Robert Evans has it here, and the referrals come to him. If they start stacking up, we will give him some relief in terms of working with him.
Transportation.
We have a citywide, we have 80-some buses that are housed here, but we also, they feed the elementary schools. Mm-hmm. We have a person citywide who's there basically responsible for that. So we coordinate those services with him, but in terms of the bus schedule or rearranging the bus, finding a substitute, that would be handled by that person, mm-hmm. a coordinator.
So you don't have that responsibility. Yeah. Utilization of funds.
I'm assuming that you're talking about the general funds that's
yes,
allocated from
yes.
the state. Pete Green, our assistant principal for instruction, is the prime coordinator for this services. We all have input in it. It has to do with staff development, funding, and the capital projects I mostly coordinate that. But for staff development activities, instructional supplies and fees, all of it is subject to my approval, of course, but Pete Green is the prime mover with this particular segment of it.
Cafeteria management.
Once again, that falls on our area, and so we work closely with Robert Evans also, and that we have a manager who reports directly to him, and then, of course, he will in turn operate from a system-wide general frame of operation. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of leeway on decisions and things mm-hmm. like that.
So mainly you just make sure that there's a cafeteria
yeah.
and students
yeah,
go
and
to the cafeteria.
Yeah, and we do take care of our students as far as supervision and mm-hmm. making sure that they're in line properly and mm-hmm. conduct themselves in an orderly fashion.
Buildings and grounds.
Buildings, grounds. We have 9.5 custodians, and once again, Mr. Evans worked with them, and we also assist him with them. Coach Fair has 3 of them over in the gym, and it is separate and apart. Because of the eating activities, he will supervise those directly. But for the others, we have some come at night and some at day, a differentiated schedule that they have.
Mm-hmm. Community relations. I think you alluded to that earlier about
yeah.
the support. But how do you think Dudley fits into this community?
In Greensboro. I think it's very well received, in as much as there's so many people who have graduated from here, and they have vested interest in here. They have the children here now. This is 5th and 6th generations mm-hmm. that have been here, and the community really anxious about making sure that Dudley provides a quality educational experience for its students, as well as a place in which community people can rally around. And it's a central focal point. We do a number of weekend activities and things on the in our auditorium here, mm-hmm. gospel sings and fests and this kind of thing. Of course, we have the old timers returning to the games and enjoying and talking about the old days and mm-hmm. this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's well received by the community.
Do you think it's still considered a black school?
I think so. Let me cite you an example. We have some white students here, and we do work with them very closely. I want to point that out very clear. And we do not get into discriminating in terms of, you know, getting them involved in the programs and what have you. We have about 20-some organizations, and they're mostly black, who would give scholarships and earmark them, especially for Dudley, which points up the pride. They're small, some mm-hmm. of them are. But at the same time, it lets you know that they're really interested in this children in the school.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you have a different type of power because you are at a black school? Do you feel that you would administrate the very same way if you were at a white school? Or do you think this gives you some
I think,
leverage?
I think any person, you asked me, mm-hmm. I think that in my style, what I try to do, consciously and unconsciously, I guess, is to garner the support of my constituencies. That means the patrons, the parents, the students, to wherever I am. So to answer your question, I don't think that I would change the mode of operation, but the emphasis may be on a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pride that we see in seeing a child grow and to achieve and experience something is universal. And I don't think it's that much different.
Mm-hmm. How much administrative power and control do you feel you have over this school and your responsibilities?
Well, that's a very good question. I try not to dabble on that end too much. I know that whatever goes on here is my responsibility, be it good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to appeal to people who my subordinates, if you have it, according to the hierarchical ladder, that this is their school too, and that they cannot be successful unless I'm successful. I mean, we are a team, and I can't be successful unless they're successful. So when it comes to power and control, it's something that we don't talk about. I realize that I have the buck stops here, and some things we just said, no, we can't do that. I realize that. But at the same time, we do a lot of dialogue, and if people can convince me that we need to do it this way, then you know, we'll match them at wits and then try to move on and get the best child.
So is it shared
decision making? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that all the way down the line.
Okay. How much did the desegregation of schools affect your role as a principal?
It really, quite honestly, I think from a personal standpoint, looking back, it sort of delayed my entry as far as moving into administration. Because in 19, you're talking about the most recent integration, mm-hmm. 74. Mm-hmm. I was in coaching, and matter of fact, when we started integrating the schools, I moved to Kaiser Junior High from Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
As one of the only, well, three of us, black teachers to move there in a predominantly white school. That was in 1960, so we moved a little bit. That was in 1966, and then, of course, I moved to Page, and I'm telling all this to get my, mm-hmm. to my point. And then after Page, I left, and I had some interest in administration, but I wouldn't really move it as fast enough, even in my own department of PE. So I left the system and went to a private school and stayed 6 years. So while the big stress of integration came, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt it and didn't feel it. But I'm well aware that during those times, and I guess in hindsight, I should have stayed, and then I would have been ready to move in a little bit quicker,
mm-hmm.
you know, in administration at age 34 as opposed to age 38, 40.
Where was the private school?
In Greensboro Day School.
Oh, you did work at Greensboro Day? I didn't realize,
mm-hmm.
that. Do you enjoy your job?
I do. I enjoy my job. I have a lot to do in terms of interacting with kids and working with them and fraternizing with them and even with staff too. My biggest hang up is that I don't think, unless you're in the role, that people can appreciate the number of things that you have to deal with. And to me, that's frustrating because I'm anxious to do everything and I want to do it well. Mm-hmm. And so it creates some anxiety. So you have to start prioritizing. That's an easy word to say. But if you ignore this, then that rises. And then if you ignore that, this rises. Mm-hmm. And I think you can relate to that, having been in education.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's just one of the job hazards. But in terms of interacting with the students, the teachers, and the parents, secretary, or staff, I enjoy that. And you know, a new day has a new challenge.
Right. What do you consider the major problem of your principalship?
Well, I just alluded to it a minute ago, wearing of the many hats. And I think because we're public servants, people want us to do a lot of things. We just finished a conversation with a young lady who had been criminally assaulted. And of course, we were supposed to provide some counseling and these kinds of things for her, and then we have to talk with mom. And then we're also dealing with the press, external things, which may not have anything to do with how well a student has mastered this math problem.
Mm-hmm.
Society has come to believe that the school can teach driver's ed, sex ed, AIDS ed, every kind of ed that you can. Sure, we're supposed to meet the needs, but at some times we ought to start talking about some math and reading and writing.
Especially when we're going to get report cards.
Get report cards on. So you see, we are taking on too much, and it's a societal expectation. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest hang-up I have, and I think one day I'll write about that.
Okay. What do you consider the most rewarding about your principalship?
I alluded to it earlier. I think graduation day, you know, you see the kids crying, thank you for helping me out. And maybe not me, but I see them telling their teachers that, and knowing that, you know, out of all this hassle that you've given me, you know, I appreciate what you're doing because I knew that you knew you were right. That's the biggest reward. And then, of course, I like working with the staff, and ours is a jovial staff. They tell a joke and they crack jokes on me, and then if they learn a good joke, they pass it in. Mm-hmm. Put some humor in the workplace, mm-hmm. and I enjoy that aspect of it. Of course, you know, we like to have debates and things like that, so that's enjoyable.
With the small number of principals, there were only 41 from State Department said 41 black principals of high school, and I found out some of them were principals of not traditional schools, but alternative schools, mm-hmm. so they won't be good for my research. But if you had to give some advice to a black person, male or female, that was aspiring to be a high school principal in the state of North Carolina, what advice would you give that person?
Well, it depends on where they are, first of all. If they were just young and in school and just starting perhaps a second, third year teacher, I would say, first of all, get as much training as you can. And be aware that things are changing all the time. My advice is to be able to cope beyond the level of victimization. Let me see, can I explain myself? Victimization means that you may be overpassed for a job simply because you're black or you're male or female. But at the same time, I don't mean for you to sound like keep beating your head on the wall, but let's not dwell on that. Let's make our case and your point and then move on. But I think sometimes we get caught up in it, and it's real. But if you plan to succeed, you have to go beyond victimization and move on to something else, mm-hmm. Move on to the next level of achievement. I think that the main PR and public relation aspect is working with kids and you know, the people around you. If you're a teacher, you know, you ought to try to hit up some committees or make yourself highly visible. Use your talents, whatever talents you have. And that would be my advice to them, because of I think if you're good, people will find you.
They will find you.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Well, basically, I've enjoyed this, but I do think that we as a state have probably passed up some of the best administrators in the world simply because we're caught up with this thing of race, of religion, region, and all of this.
Yes.
And until such time we can get past this one hurdle, This is one of the biggest problems in North Carolina, perception, and we need to become more multiculturally aware. And I'm not talking primarily about the black administrator, I know this is, but I mean even some Asian people who come, the Native Americans. I think this is important for all of us as school people to be able to recognize talent and give those people an opportunity to work with these students. Okay.
I appreciate you taking the time, Mr. Edwards. I know you have a busy schedule, and I know you have a meeting with your doctors in a few minutes, and I appreciate you taking the time. This has been quite informative. You've gotten right to the point, and the information has been really good.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you, and I wish you good luck on your endeavors, and we are proud of you, too.
Okay, thank you.
All right.